Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
It's something we take for granted here in Australia because all kids go through schooling. But in many of those countries, if you don't have the money, your children don't go to school. And I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to share with other people the opportunity for their kids to be educated. And, you know, kindergarten here is fun. Kindergarten is for kids to explore making friends, explore those basics of learning to count and learning to read and learning to experience what it is to learn. So I think it's a great gift that we can pass on to others. Because today is the fourth week of our self-denial video series, and next week is our final week. So for those that want to be coming prepared next week, we have some envelopes and some money boxes still available for those that want to get their offering ready for next week. Because we will be having a spot in the service next week where we can bring our offerings and give them to God, firstly, because he will be the one that allocates that to the different places that we see in the videos, but also other places around the world. These are just snippets of things that we get to see. If you're unable to bring it in next week, we will be collecting for the next couple of weeks. So if you're away next week or haven't got organised for next week, you can put your envelopes still in the offering basket that we have up the front for the next couple of weeks, and also the online options are open for a few weeks as well. So there's lots of different ways that you can give. I've got an example of an envelope here, because the envelopes have got lots of different sections to them. So if you want to do it anonymously and you're not worried about receipts, that's fine. You don't have to fill anything in. You just put your offering in, close it up, and then we'll collect it next week, or if you're bringing it in future weeks. But if you are wanting receipts, you will need to fill in a few bits and pieces. So there is a section for your details, so you can put as much or as little in there. If you want a receipt, you need at least your full name so that we can write the receipt in your name. The gift also can be tax deductible or what's called non-tax deductible. So the tax deductible parts of gifts can go to projects like feeding programs, social programs, community-based things, where the non-tax part of our gifts can go to anything, including buying Bibles and evangelical things, helping with core buildings, those sorts of things. So obviously the tax component is good for those that want the tax receipt part of it so they can claim it on tax, but we do encourage the non-tax part because it can be widely used and also for the evangelical side of things. You can even split your donation. You might want to do part to tax and part to non-tax. So if you're giving, say, $50, you might do 20 to one and 30 to the other. So you can actually split it on your envelope. There's space to do that as well. There's actually space to do an option if you don't want to do it all in one lump sum. You can do it over a period of time. You might want to do it via direct debit every week for the next, 5-6 weeks. Or you might want to do it every month for the next 6 months. There is so many different options, and there is even space for credit card details or your bank account details as well. There's also all those options online. So for anybody who's watching from a distance, so anyone online that wants to do it, you just need to go to selfdenial.info and all the details for the donate. It'll have a button that says donate to that. And don't forget, those that are here, make sure you put the name of your core on the envelope, or if you do it online, make sure you allocate it to the core that you attend so that it goes towards the tally. It still all goes to the same self-denial fund, but it just, we get information of how many people have donated from each core so that we are able to inform you of how we've gone in achieving our goal. I think last year's goal was 10,000, and I think we nailed it. I think we got just over the 10,000 mark from the Bunbury or the Southwest. So, oh, there we go, 12,700 and something from the Southwest last year. So, praise God, that's lots of Bibles for people. So, so make sure you fill out the envelope part. Also, if you get even your kids, if they're doing a box, make sure you put their name on the part there, because they get a an appreciation certificate or a letter to say thank you for donating. So make sure you put your names on the boxes. Again, if you want it anonymously, you don't have to fill any of those bits. Okay, let's see. What else have I got here? I've written myself some notes so I don't forget all the information. I think that's all of it. Anything I've missed, Mark? About the self-denial stuff? So next week is the big week, but you can bring it in future weeks after, because we'll keep it open for a few weeks after. My prayer for this year's self-denial appeal is that we each seek God's will in what he wants us to do and what he wants us to give. And Mark's talked a lot about being a cheerful giver, and I will emphasize, yes, God loves a cheerful giver, and I pray that you follow God's leading in what he wants you to do around this appeal. And in saying that, I want to seek God's will again in looking at our scripture today. We're going to open up the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about what his will is. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to be looking in the book of 1 John. Now, if you start at the end of your Bible, it's going to be quicker to find it. If you start from the beginning, you're going to be turning a lot of pages. So the book of 1 John, and it's tricky because there's actually four books named John in the Bible. You want the one that has a number one in front of the word John. So you don't want John first. You want the number one first. So there's the book of John by itself. Then we have 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Okay. So we're going to look at the book of 1 John, chapter 3, and verses 16 to 20. So again, it's closer to the end of the Bible and go backwards. And I'm going to read the passage from the Message version. So don't be alarmed if it reads different words to what you've got in your Bible, because it is slightly different in the Message. I just wanted to grab a different wording of what it says, but it's still the same Word of God. And we're going to have the words up on the screen, so don't panic if you haven't found it or if you're a bit confused by different wording. All good. And maybe you might prefer to, if you're someone who's very audio and likes to listen, maybe you want to close your eyes and just listen to the words. But let's all just take a deep breath. And invite the Holy Spirit to be with us and to give us understanding as we read this passage today. Holy Spirit, speak to us and speak through me today. May we have open ears and open hearts to your message. Amen. So 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 20. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And we pray God's understanding as we go through this passage today. Who remembers what the overarching theme of this year's self-denial is? I'll give you a clue. It's three words. Hey, I heard it. Love in action. Awesome. Love in action. Did you remember that now that I've said it? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Love in action. Well, we've been pumping it with the kids, talking about love in action. And for those that maybe you don't have young children or maybe you haven't come in the last few weeks, each of the kids, when they've come out to do activities out with me, we've been talking about this love in action. And the very first week, they had the opportunity to make a box for themselves. And knowing that, you know, little kids particularly don't have their own money. Sometimes they get pocket money, but a lot of kids don't have access to their own money. I wanted them to still understand this idea of love in action. And so when they got their box, they also got some little tokens. So I think they got about 10 tokens. So they had little tokens like this, little cardboard things. And the idea was that when they showed love in action at home, mum or dad or grown-up would put a token in the box. So, and I've heard some wonderful stories. I've talked with parents and with kids about the love in action that they've shown over the last few weeks. So I've heard stories of kids giving hugs to family members, saying sorry for when they've done something wrong, and even tidying up without complaining. I think that's an awesome way to show love. Yeah, I know it might. It's obviously a rare occurrence just to get these tokens, but so the kids are learning this language of what love is like. That it's not just a word, it's not just a feeling. That it's something that we can do and show to other people. I wonder if you each got a box, and somebody was in charge of some tokens in your box, would you have tokens going into your box? Have you been showing love in action in your homes or in your workplaces or in your communities? How full would your box be? Overflowing. Ah, dear. And I wonder if you can recall a time this week when you might have shown love in action, maybe to someone in your family, maybe a friend or even a complete stranger. I wonder if you can recall that this week. Because our scripture today starts off by stating, how can we even know what love is? It says, this is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. In the NIV version, which many of you might have in your Bibles, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. How we come to understand and experience and know what love is in the first place is all because of Jesus sacrificing his life for us. That's the measure of what love is like. Love is sacrifice. Love is action. We talk so much about emotions and feelings in today's world. That's only a small part of what love is. Love is more about the action, more about the sacrifice. God didn't just stay up in heaven talking about loving us or sending us love letters or sending heart emojis to us. He physically came down through his son Jesus. He came down. He didn't just lay down his life in terms of dying for us. He laid down so many things that he would have had in heaven. Now, I've never been to heaven, but I'm pretty sure that heaven is better than here. Yeah, and I look forward to the day where we're going to have something better than here. But God gave up that good stuff to come down to us. How is that for laying down something? He gave up the power, the prestige, the wonderful place that heaven is to come to us, to show us love. Not just to talk about it, not just to read about it, but to actually live it and be in bodily form. He lived, walked, taught, healed, and sacrificed his life for us literally as well. That is completely love in action. For most of Jesus' ministry, he was a roaming preacher. So he walked around telling people about the kingdom of God. He didn't even have his own home to live in. So he didn't just give up all that wonderful stuff of heaven. He gave up even having a home. He walked around to tell everybody about who God was. He figured that was much more important than having his own place to stay. Not because he couldn't get one. He wasn't homeless because, you know, he couldn't afford a house. Or he deliberately chose that way to be able to meet as many people as he could and to show the depth of his love for us. His willingness to sacrifice everything to show us what love in action is like. The next line in the scripture says, "This is why we ought to live sacrificially, for our fellow believers, and not just be out for ourselves." And I think that's almost the mantra today of, you know, do it for you. Do what feels good for you. Only worry about yourself. But Jesus showed us a radically different life. He came to show what it is to be focused on others. The New Interpreter's Bible commentary says, "Laying down one's life for sisters and brothers seems by definition to be once in a lifetime heroism at best. Basically, it's probably rare that you will actually have to put your life on the line for anybody else. It's pretty rare these days that you would have to physically die for others. It does sometimes happen, but it's pretty one in a million. But John, who's the author of this book, is broadening this idea of what living sacrificially is about. It's not just about willing to die physically, but it's about laying down our lives. And in the next part of the passage, it gives us an example of how we can live that sacrificially. It says, "If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear." Because basically it's saying, if you have more than enough, give to those who don't have enough. Sacrifice the extra you have to give to those that don't. So this giving of material things is one example of that laying down our lives, that living sacrificially. But laying down our lives for others can also be laying down our pleasures or our wants in order to give someone what they need. Maybe it's going without a new outfit so that someone can have clothes that they really need and don't have. Maybe it's going without luxuries like expensive coffees and chocolates to be able to give to someone who needs bread and milk. Maybe it's laying down our lives in terms of time, laying down our time in order to give time to help someone else in need of some practical assistance. Maybe it's laying down our complaining in order to listen to somebody else's difficult troubles. Maybe it's laying down our judgments or our prejudices in order to help someone who may not think is deserving. Jesus certainly did not consider dying only for those he thought were deserving of his love. Jesus died for all. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That first part, God so loved the world. He didn't just love the good people, not just the people he thought were worth it, the whole world. And let's be honest, if Jesus only loved those who deserved it, then really none of us would be on that list, because none of us have deserved God's love. But that's what makes it even more remarkable, because he loves us even though we don't deserve it. He loves us despite that. This is the love that God calls us to show others. That's the love in action. The willingness to give up all the fancy stuff in order to help somebody going through the tough times. This is the sacrificial love, the laying down of our lives kind of love. The Bible Panorama says, with God's love and grace in our hearts, we can love like that. But this love must be demonstrated in practice and not be merely a question of empty words. When our scripture said, if you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. What happens to God's love when we turn a cold shoulder towards others in need? It disappears and we made it disappear. Ouch! That really hurt when I read it. I was like, we make it disappear. Not that God takes it away. But it's not our love to begin with. God is the one that lavishly, we sang about it, we're drenched in God's love. He's the one that's lavishly put it on us. It's his love within us that even allows us to love other people. If we don't have his love within us, it is really hard to love ourselves, let alone other people. It is this love within us that others will see and know that we are Christians. That's how that people tell that we belong to Jesus, is they see his love in us. When they see our love in action. With God's love and grace in our hearts, we can love like that, it says in the quote. Maybe today you need to ask God to fill you with his love. Maybe we have made it disappear. Maybe we have not experienced God's love before. It is impossible to show God's love to others if we've not received it for ourselves. To do this, we simply ask for God to come into our lives and accept his sacrificial love, realizing that he's laid down his life for us, to show his love for us, in order for us to share that love with others. That's the purpose of why he's given it, that love, so that it will overflow and be shared to others who need to hear about his love too. We're going to listen to a song in a moment, and I want this to be a time of reflection for you. To work out between you and God a couple of things. So one, have I received the love of God for myself? Do I have God's love in me? Two, am I showing God's love in action to those around me? And thirdly, am I willing to receive God's love afresh and available to do whatever and go to whoever God leads me to show that love action to? So have you got God's love? Am I showing that love to those around me? And am I available to let God take me wherever he wants to go? Wherever he wants me to show that love to whoever. And sometimes it is those scary spaces when we sang in Oceans. Call me out upon the waters, that place that we're the great unknown, where we might fail, but God will take us and he will be with us and strengthen us. I want to leave you with a quote before we listen to the song. In the Asbury Bible, it's by Dodd, who says, love is the willingness to surrender that which has value for our own life to enrich the life of another. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. And we're just going to listen to the song called Available. Are you available to God to use to show that love in action?